dear brother and sister, God made man divine in nature. God is spirit and we are spirit in man. Therefore it is said, know ye not that you are the true temple of God, the body that you are carrying, it is the true temple of God because Holy Ghost resides in it. Then who you are but the spirit in man? If spirit is eternal, why we fear that we will die? So great is man, all masters are afflicted. We are of the same essence as that of God. We have been given this man body to enable us just realize that spirit or God which is already in us. But that will be done only when we know ourselves. God is light. When he wanted the world should come up, then there was light. And that light comes within each of us. So all masters have been saying that take heed that the light within you is not darkness. So soul is of the same essence as that of God. And the light of spirit shineth in darkness, that means body, and the darkness apprehended it not. So we are great in man, that's the point. All masters tell us like that. Our true home is not this man body that has been given to us. It is a golden opportunity, of course, we have had. Ever since we were separated from God, so far we have not reached that our home. The point is because now we are identifying with the body darkness, so much so that we never dream of whether the light is within us or not. So for that account, on that account only, we are not happy. Had we known the spirit in us, we are of the same divine nature as the God himself. Had we known that, then as such we are all equal. God has given us the same privileges, even physically, born the same way, outer inner construction the same, the same divine spirit within us, but being under control of mind, we are identified with the body in all outside world so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. So Master come out to tell us that you are spirit in man, God is light, and that light dwells in each one of us. As such, we are all children of light, brothers and sisters in God. Physically also, spiritually also, and intellectually also, we are the same privilege of God. So masters come up, they want to make us realize who you are, what you are. They say you are conscious entities, drop of the ocean of all consciousness. But in mind, by mind and matter so much so that you have forgotten yourself. So they tell us, O man, know thyself, who you are, what you are. We have the body, of course. We have got the intellect, no doubt. But we have them, we are conscious at this. If we know by self-analysis, by rising above body consciousness, then we find we are of the same nature as that of God, we are spirit and man, we are of the same essence as that of God, only as being identified in the world, so much so that we have forgotten ourselves. The saint told us, "O man, you have committed a heinous crime against your own self." And people ask him, "How?" He says, "You are the indweller of the body, you are the Holy Ghost, you are the children of light. But that you have simply got the man body to enable you to realize yourself and to realize God, but you have been identified with it, yet you are just forgotten yourself." So for that, masters come and tell us, "Please look to your Godhead. You are princes of God, you are micro-gods, invited by mind and matter, just growing on the earth like anything." So masters make us realize, when they give us all this theory and teachings, then when we realize, they give a little demonstration also of that, how to rise above body consciousness, then we naturally pray, "O God, you are in the high heavens, and we are here growing in the man body, in the earth. How can we reach thee?" So when this is the Arjuna, arises from within, then the God who is there, He is heard, He is with us, He is never without us. He makes some arrangement to send somebody who can make us realize who we are and what we are. So masters, when they came, they solved this mystery of life, and they made us also realize that thing by giving us a demonstration of that, how to rise above body consciousness, how to know ourselves. So all masters of the Isha Divas all gave out the same thing. Greek philosophers, Latin philosophers, Persian philosophers, all saints of the East said the same thing, of course in their own language. So this is the first step. We can proceed on the way back to God. So for that, then master come and make us realize who we are writing by giving the demonstration of it. Because we do not realize unless we see things with our own eyes. So they say, "What is this sign?" These religions came into being after that. So after when they left the scene, they were made only for the purpose that their teachings may be remain alive, and many people may derive benefit from that, of how to know oneself and to know God. So as long as they are practical to people, the purpose of sound, for want of practical people, these formations dwindled down into stagnation, and stagnation resulted in deterioration. Then saints come up again, "Well, man, look thyself. You have taken up these labels of the man body. These are only to show in which school you are giant, to know yourself, to know your divine nature." So these religions were made for the man. Man was not made for the religion, he had to make the best of the religion. That school is better who turn out for fit man. So man should come up to revive how to know ourselves. Practically, who we are, what is our connection with the body, whether we can rise above body consciousness. So you will find what is spirituality. Spirituality is not the customs or rituals or performances that you perform at the level of the senses. They have got exhausted. That is only meant for preparation of the ground to know oneself and to know one. That is not spirituality, that is the ground on which building of spirituality can be raised. But true spirituality what? To know the spirit in man. Spirituality means the quality of spirit, to know yourself, that you are spirit in man. It is purely a knowledge of self-analysis, to know oneself, to know the old self, and know God by practical self-analysis, by sitting at the feet of some adept in that way, which are called masters, and give you a demonstration of that. To know oneself, to know the spirit in man, know the name God into expression power, which is controlling the whole universe and all, and permeating all creation, and which is the controlling power of us in the body too. To know that, that is called spirituality. Don't confound it with this spiritualism, which is only a contact with the groaning spirits, those who have left the body and grounded on the earth. A contact with that, that is no spirituality. Further spirituality, no spiritualism, that's also contact with the souls which have left the world, and they are little higher than those spirits grown from the earth. To contact with that also, that is no spirituality. If you contact with them, they will give you only up to the level they progress on the way. They are not more than one where he has been leaving the body. So it is also no hypnotism, to hypnotize us by radiation, nor it is mesmerism. So it is purely a matter of self-analysis, knowing oneself and knowing God, knowing the spirit in man. People confound it with other things. So when you know ourselves, what do you know? That we are the enlivening, we are who are enlivening the members, the factory of the members. Suppose there is a factory outside which is run by powerhouse. They have got so many departments of the factory. Each department has a link with the powerhouse. So they are working. When you want to stop any department of the factory, we take up that link from that department, and that department sees it to work. If you want to stop the whole factory, take up the main link, and the whole factory stops. Similar, this body is working. We are going around playing this and that thing. When that connection taken up, body is inert. Machine lies intact. Everything is there, but the driver is gone. And that power that keeps on the body, that is we don't. So body works as long as we are in the body. And we are in the body, you know, as long as some power is controlling us in the body. So similarly, this man body, when masters come, they give us a demonstration of knowing ourselves, how to rise above body consciousness by self-analysis. Then we see it is on account of we, this act is working. Now, what will happen now? that our soul is under the control of mind, mind is under the control of outgoing faculty, and outgoing faculty is driven like anything from the outer environment. We are of extent to the man, to the mind, to the body, to the outgoing faculty. Instead of that, they are dragging us. The whole thing is topsy-turvy. The horse had to carry the carriage, and the carriage is put before the horse. So master this thing gives a demonstration into it. Then we know such a man who is risen above body consciousness, has known himself, has come in contact with God, that he knows which housing faculty he likes to work. He's not driven like anything. That's the difference between an average man and the man who has risen above body consciousness at will. He knows himself what he is, and he further knows that higher power that is controlling us in the body and controlling all universe. So he may be his eyes open, not see, because his attention is not there. With his ears open, he may not be hearing. So it's all the feet of this, what we call attention, thought. So the source or attention is directed on the man body or to the different outgoing faculties they work, and when that is not along with them, they don't work. Those who know by the grace of the God in men to rise above body consciousness, say 100 times a day at will, their angular vision is changed. They see the world in some other light. They say, we are the driver of this man body, it is on account of all he, the world is going. So masters come up and they give us a confident teaching, realize that they use the dog solution of consciousness. So as such, you will find you are all equally situated by God, no high, no low. As man body also, as intellectual way, the same thing. With all these advancements of physical and intellectual ways, we are not happy because the third side we have no doubt about. When they see like that, they see we are all of the same essence of God, we are all brothers and sisters in God, and we worship the same God power into special power which is controlling us in the body. So, the objective of all religions is what? The objective of all religions is divine beatitude and beatific vision of God. One thing. And to turn out ideal men. The schools are there, you see. They are meant to turn out successful students to have highest degrees. Whichever school turns out more men like that, students like that, they are creditable. If the schools are there, very big halls, good playing grounds, good dresses of the students, but no student comes out successful. So master said after two objects of the religion are there. One objective religion is divine beatitude and beatitude vision of God. And the other thing, to turn out ideally. So there are hundreds and thousands of people in all religions whose main purpose is to know God. Although forgotten, that's another thing. Master come to revive that forgotten lesson they want to again put before them. Oh man, go, don't miss that again. The highest aim that you can attain in man body is to know God. And in no other body. So man body is the golden opportunity that we have got, in which we can know God. So two things I told you, all masters say like that. So, to turn out what you say, perfect man is our idea. Be perfect as your Father is in heaven. is perfect. Similarly, man and God are fully embedded in each other. If therefore behoves man to reflect the light of God around him, God is soul of his soul and his body is the veritable temple of God. Man is embodied truth, for truth is his very life. Without the light of truth, how can man live? When that is the dark, man has to leave the body. So God speaks to a human pole. Without such a pole, how can we know ourselves? How can God express himself to the world? So we need somebody who has that life and can give us experience of that life within us. So all masters have been coming again and again to revive to this very subject which you have forgotten, the highest aim of man body. Hazrat Attar, the saint, tells us, O man, thou art the very center of creation. In fact, the very macrocosm and the microcosm. Man is a wonderful house we live in, you see. Macrocosm has three planes, physical, astral and causal. And we have also been given three planes and to cross it. We have been given body to work in all the physical world, in the physical world, in the physical body. At the time when that the physical is taken off body, we rise into astral body, and astral world is there, then the causal world is there. And beyond all these three, the safest to whom the Father by degrees. So he tells us, thou art the living book of God, for in through thee alone God speaks and reveals himself. God does not speak from heaven directly, see? He speaks through the man. If man were to take care of his Godhood and make it a practical work, a very principle, the world will become a heaven on earth. It will become a real place of the pure. So the only ideal for man is to be perfect and complete. Saint Paul said, you are complete in Godhood. I am quoting all these things to let you know what the scriptures tell us. We belong to those isms, to those scriptures, to those religions. We do not know what our scriptures say. We are great in man. So, very living in giants, the worship of perfect men too, who are at one with God. Amongst the six, they are supposed to turn to khalsa. Khalsa means pure. And the definition is given, he is the khalsa pure man in whom God's light is effulgent. Whole light is effulgent. Similarly, you will find in the Mohammedans, those who want to become Mohammedans, who see the light of God. In Hinduism also, they light candles outside. And also to light the candle with it. And Christian also sees the light of God, takes it that the light which is you is not darkness. So all have got the same degree, but we have forgotten. So that is why Master comes from time to time to revise us to this truth which we have forgotten. All other body of the creation has been made subservient to man. God, man is considered to be the next to God. When the angels bow down, are to bow down before the man body. To Ruskin, likewise expresses the same truth. He says, there is no wealth but life. their worship of light, of life. If life is empty, who cares for the man body? If the lamp is, I got no eyes, no wick, no sense, who cares for the lamp? If the bulb is fused, who cares for the bulb? So there is no wealth but life, life including all its powers of love, peace and admiration. The country is the richest, which nourishes the greatest number of noble and happy human beings. The country is the richest. That man is the richest who, having perfected the function of his own life to the utmost, has also the widest helpful influence, both permeated and by means of his possession in the other's life. So such like worship of such man is given up by all creatures. Naturally, he commands his head. So we have got, so this science, to know oneself, we are spirit in man, we are eternal, never die, man, body has been given the golden opportunity in which we can realize that. So this practical subject is God's spirituality. Not only having the labels of one religion or this, that makes no difference. So Master tells us always, the knowledge of all knowledge is what? To know oneself. The Persian philosophers tell us. We have dwelt physically, of course, and intellectually, and not spiritually. O seekers after God, you have lost Him in the very worldly of the sense. We are given up, identified with the senses outside. So much so that we have forgotten ourselves, who we are, what we are. So the world religion means what? To bind, reem is back, lead you to bind one back to God. And the word yoga also means the same. Yoga means, comes from the root yug, means to unite. Unite us with God. So fortunately, together do the two dwell in close association in the same abode, in the same body. And strange enough, but as it may seem, the two have never conversed with each other. We are also in the body, and the power which controls us in the body is also there, but staying enough, we are never thought of that, and we go around seeking anniversaries. Kabir said, I went to pay pilgrimage to Mecca. On the way God met me and rebuked me, who told you I am there, I am with you, on the very life of you. So all Master tell us like that. They say you, and that God power is both within this man body. And where are you? You are just identified with your world outside. Why don't you withdraw your attention from outside? He is waiting for you within you. So it is hold the feet of attention. This is tension is what? A drop of the ocean of all attention. You are great in man, you can work wonders. If you put in that attention, your body you become physically strong. Wrestlers, you know, when you exercise, they put their whole attention in the body. If you put in your attention to the centers of the brain within you, you become intellectually strong. So this is the whole field of attention, you see. And Master says, look here, you and God both are lying in the same bed. You are sleeping, awake outside. Why not sleep outside and awake inside? He is waiting for you. So religion, in fact, what it is, it's the way back to God. That's all. Nothing else. And we have considered to be something else. Religion, in fact, is the way back to God, or a link, linking the soul with God, the old. that religion is blessed, we can't do such like that.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang from Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was the first half of an evening talk given by Master at the San Francisco Unitarian Church on November 13, 1972. Our reader this morning is Rick Casey. Go ahead, Rick.
Thank you, David. I will continue reading this morning from the book God-Man in chapter 23, about halfway through it. In St. John, we read, "When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, they that hear shall live." John 5:25. Such great souls never depend on scriptures or sacred lore, which, after all, are recorded experiences of souls like them. They are truth personified, word made flesh, and living among us. All the Vedas and Shastras originate from the fountainhead within them. They are much more than the scriptures, which constitute but an infinitesimal speck of their personalities. The teachings of the Masters are very liberal and help the embodied souls in the task of liberation and salvation. "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." John 6:35. In Malar Kiwar, Guru Nanak tells us how to know a master soul. "He can show us the kingdom of God in this body. He who can show us the kingdom of God in this body is a master soul. He can attune our ears to the voice of God. Even the grand divisions and minor divisions of the universe are in perpetual ecstasy, for they live by the music emanating from the seat of God. The Master exhorts the jivas to listen to this music in the sukhman, the artery between the two eyebrows. Then he established in sunya, the region of silence, with the result that all oscillations of the mind would cease. When the chalice of the mind thus turns into the correct position, it will get filled with the elixir of life, making the mind steady and self-poised. The ceaseless music of eternity becomes a constant companion. All the aspirants attend to these five strains, and in course of time become Gurumukh, the mouthpiece of the Guru, and attain the eternal abode of truth. He who can, with the aid of this music, gain back the Garden of Eden, from which he has been exiled, is the beloved of God, and Nanak would wish to be his eternal slave." He never keeps his followers in delusion about the inefficacy of outer pursuits. His cardinal tenets center around one thing: contact with and devotion to Shabd alone. The manifestation of ceaseless music within is a gift of a master soul. O Nanak, whoever contacts the perfect master hears within himself the divine melody. Satguru is ever engrossed in Nam, and like a master pilot, safely ferries bona fide aspirants across and leads them back to the kingdom of God lost within them. One dyed in the color of Nam is Satguru, and in Kal Yuga, he acts as captain of a ship. He who confides and resides in him is carried across and finds truth manifested in him. 11. A master soul at times does uncommon things that may appear baneful to ordinary individuals. This he does to keep the worldly minded away from him, as one would do in the case of flies, so that they will not obstruct the way of true aspirants. A darvish, man of piety, needs no darwan, gate man. Yes, he does need one to keep the dogs of the world away. An evil tongue or slanderer does work as a darwan for darvishes, so that the worldly wise are kept out of the way. In the biography of Bhai Bala, it is on record that once Guru Nanak said, "In Kali Yuga, many saints or manifestations of God will come down for the good of suffering humanity." Bhai Ajita questioned, "Master, will you tell us how we would know a perfect saint? What would be his expression, and how shall we recognize him?" The master replied, "Whenever a saint appears, some leaders of society, religious bigots, and caste-ridden individuals, talk ill of him. Rare indeed are those who go to him. The rank and file slander both the master and his disciples. The people in general engage in outer pursuits, like reading scriptures, offering public prayers in churches, temples and mosques, and recitation of mantras, etc. They will not practice Sarat Shabd Yoga by tuning with the primal sound current. When such conditions predominate, I will come, time and again, to revive the path of the masters and link people with the Anhad Bani." 12. With the advent of a saint, the refreshing showers of spirituality flood the dry and parched hearts encrusted with the dust of ages. Everyone who comes to him, whether a devotee or a sinner, derives benefit in his own way and gets solace from him. Many a robber, murderer, and highwayman has had a complete transformation in his company. Like a master washerman, he cleans our souls through and through of all impurities, bodily, mental, and causal, until they shine forth in primal glory and become luminous and living selves. We find in a saint a living embodiment of selfless love and sacrifice. His appeal is universal and directed to the soul of man. The aspirants in thousands congregate around him and are benefited by his teachings. 13. A saint is truly a son of God and shares with him all his powers. His long and strong arm embraces the universe, and his helping hands extend to all parts of the world. Distance has no limitations for him. His saving grace miraculously works wonders in strange and unpredictable ways, and people escape unscathed from many a tense and hopeless situation, even from the jaws of death. Master of earth and heavens, he guides the spirits in their homeward journey through spiritual regions, and his lustrous form ever keeps company with the pilgrim soul as it transcends the body. Malani Rumi says, "The hand of a master soul is in no way shorter than that of God, It is, in fact, the hand of God Himself. Yes, it stretches across seven skies and inspires spirits with hope and confidence. These are just a few of the innumerable signs that indicate a saint. Maulana Rumi says in this context, an Aulia, Superman, has in him wonderful powers and possibilities, which a man of piety alone can see and experience. The glory and greatness of a God-man becomes more and more manifest to a spirit as it crosses over bodily and mental limitations and proceeds onward in his company. The lustrous form of the Master is ever with him, now wherever he may be, guiding his footsteps both within and without, answering all his questions, the sole arbiter of his destiny, his very Savior. It is at this stage that a person gets firmly established in him and cries out, and the Master is ever with me. For now he realizes the truth of the Master's saying, every man, I will go with thee and be thy guide. In thy greatest need, to be by thy side. The world is full of people who profess to be masters and teachers of mankind. But all those who hanker after pelf and power, name and fame, cannot possibly play the role and perform this arduous duty. And one must try to avoid such false prophets, who are no less than ravening wolves in the garb of lambs. It never pays to test and try a genuine master. His very presence will of his own accord magnetize the mind. Maulana Rumi says, none can subdue and still the oscillation of mind except through the overpowering influence of a pure God-man. Take thou a firm hold of such a person. If you are able to do this, it will be by his own grace, and then his power will work in you. He is an entity pure and desireless. Surrender your all at his feet, body, mind, and attachments, and he will mold you to his fashion. How this can be done is the question. Kabir Sahib tells us of the way. Give thy body and mind to him who has no desire of his own. With no thought of the self, be established in him. After the mind, what then remains? Not even the body. Nothing is left to be surrendered, says Kabir. Having given the body and the mind, no burden remains to be carried. He who takes pride in this sacrifice will yet have punishment. For who can part with the seed mind within? O Kabir, how can that mind be subdued and surrendered? Along with body and mind, part thou with the seed mind. O Kabir, only after hearing the Master, one becomes fearless. Place the seed mind at the altar of the lotus feet of the Master. O Kabir, now one sees nothing but the luminous form of the Master. Chapter 24. Oneness of Guru, Guru Dev, Satguru, and Malak, the various forms of truth. In scriptures, we read that God is formless. He sees without eyes, and does his work without hands, moves about without feet, and hears without ears. He pervades everywhere, but cannot be seen. He is beyond all thought, comprehension, and apprehension. Man, with his limited intellect and finite understanding, cannot reach him. How then can we see God and love him? Love and longing always exist between creatures of the same class at one level. Birds of the air fly together in flocks, and there is love between animals of the same type, and they move about in herds. Man by nature is gregarious and cannot but live in society with his fellow beings. Contemplation means concentration of human faculties at one center or focus. But if the center and focus are not apparent and visible, how can there be any contemplation at all? To satisfy this fundamental need of mankind, Lord Rama and Lord Krishna, the manifestations of Kal or the negative power, the same power manifests in different ways to maintain life at various levels, just like electricity, which produces fire at one place and ice at another, had to come in the garb of man. And so did master saints who manifest Sat Purush, the positive power, truth, the substratum of all that is visible and invisible, the entire universe with its grand divisions and subdivisions, right from Sach Khan or Mukam Ihak to Kal Desh, the physical world, which is subject to decay and death. A Muslim divine has beautifully described him. If he is Kud'a, self-moving God, let him come by himself to teach us. In fact, he has to come down to the level of man, for then alone can man know of him. In the garb of a master saint, he works his will by giving instructions to the souls that long for him but cannot reach him. He tells them that he is not a physical body, and he instructs all the embodied spirits how to transcend the limitations of the physical body, and by a gradual transmission of his power, he pulls them out of the physical raiment and becomes their friend and guide. Thus, the formless has to assume a form, adopt a pole for the manifestation of his Godhead, for the suffering and helpless humanity. He tells us of our native worth and how to regain the lost kingdom, the Garden of Eden, from which we have been exiled since the beginning of time. God's power in fullness works at the pole of a master soul, and he may therefore be truly described as polarized God, come into the world with happy tidings to announce God and God's kingdom, both of which, he says, are near at hand and can easily be gained by a little practice in the right direction. He who has known truth is Satguru. In fact, Satguru is Sat, truth, personified. Word really becomes flesh and dwells among us, and by his instruction and guidance, takes us along with him until we, like him, become Word, a conscious principle working in harmony with the divine will on the divine plan. Know ye for certain that Guru is not apart from God. Whatever his wishes, they are acceptable to God. Chapter 25. The Nature of Oneness. Verily, a Satguru, Master of Truth, is one with Sat, or Truth, as he is embedded in and revels in Truth. Truth is infinite and all-pervasive, while it manifests itself and works among people from a human pole. Call it what you will, Master, Satguru, etc. He is a beacon light that sheds the light of truth on the tumultuous sea of life to guide yearning humanity. He may be likened to a live switch that has behind it the entire energy of the powerhouse, but he doles it out in such measure as may be needed by each individual according to his or her requirements. Like a magnetized pole or a live switch, he possesses a raiment, but in fact is not the raiment, but the power inside the raiment. Exactly so is the case of jivas, or embodied spirits. We too are in fact not what we possess and apparently seem to be, physical entities, but spirits or souls that enliven the physical bodies. A spirit or soul is purely of the same essence and power that works in the Master, though clothed in countless raiments or sheaths and hedged in by numberless limitations. But when it is able to transcend the various bodies and become a spirit untrammeled and free, it can then witness the glory and greatness of the Master, for he is the horizon where the earth and heaven meet, and the sun of God's light rises and illumines all space. A veritable sun lies hid in him. We cannot have any adequate idea of God's beauty, grandeur, and greatness by looking at the physical form of the Master. For an actual experience of him, we have to rise to his level. Unless we rise to the level of God, we cannot know of God. As God is spirit, we too, by self-analysis, must be able to separate the spirit in us from the material sheaths or raiments enshrouding it, for spirit alone can see and experience spirit. Not the physical senses, not even the intellect or mind. The eyes of a Master are charmed casements that open within on infinity and without on the finite. In them, one can get glimpses of divine light unparalleled in this world, a shadowless light that never is found on sea or land. Maulana Rumi tells us about him. A God-man is ever in a state of intoxication, without a drop of wine. He is ever satiated, without a morsel of food. His eyes are the eyes of God. His hands are the hands of God. While living in the world, he is not of the world, nor he a prisoner in the prison of the body, as we are. He is a free entity, and at will crosses over into spiritual realms, and is competent to grant this power in capacity to thousands of jivas, if he so wishes. A living master of truth is one with truth, and has in him truth in fullness, whereby he carries on the work of salvation entrusted to him. In spite of his form, he is formless. He is word personified, a great fountainhead of love, bliss, and peace. Man has to learn from man, and in accordance with this natural law, word becomes flesh and dwells among us to impart spiritual instruction and guidance. Again, by transmitting his own life impulse, he enables us to go homeward. While doing this work among us, he every day at his sweet will escapes to his heavenly abode of truth, so as to take rest in Nijanan, or imperishable bliss. Master of truth and truth are one, for he is polarized truth. He is beyond everything, beyond Brahma, the primal principle. Nanak has met with such a guru. The master of truth is eternally the same. He neither comes nor goes. He is the imperishable life principle that pervades everywhere. With all our paeans and praise of the master, we can never do justice to him, for he existed when nothing was, and from him everything came into being at each cycle of creation. Who can sing praises of the master? He is the source of all truth. He is eternally unchangeable, the source of all life from age to age. In Gurbani, it is mentioned that after careful scrutiny within, one comes to an irresistible conclusion that master is truth and truth is master, with no distinction whatever between the two. When churning the great sea within, one thing has come to the surface. Guru is Gobind, and Gobind is Guru. O Nanak, there is no difference between the two. The Almighty, in fact, resides in the garb of a saint and works his plan through him. The Kartar, primal principle, resides in the Master, and he becomes the means of salvation for many a soul. One knows nothing of love without a Master, for everyone is devoid of love. Hari resides in the Master, and blessed master becomes the connecting link between a jiva and Hari. Well, I've come to the end of my time, and I've been reading from God-Man, chapters 23 through 25. Thank you, Master, for everything.
And thank you, Rick, for reading for us. There were 82 people at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
So blessed you are, you have got the man body, and it is high time to make the best use of that. Be spiritual. Remain honest. You may have any label you like. That is meant only to make you spiritual. To know the spirit in you. You are spiritual. You are spirit in God.